This morning at the 9 o'clock service, 99 of our St. Paul's children performed our annual Christmas pageant. Sheep, soldiers, angels, and shepherds brought us the message of Christ's birth. And I thought a little bit about how they would do this as I walked through the halls of our parish buildings this morning. I opened the doors and turned on lights to the parish hall and to the education wing. And I looked down the hall. Down each hall, we have doorways. And in each door, we have classrooms with small tables and chairs. On each door, we have signs telling us the names of our preschool teachers. Above each door reads the grades of the students who meet there for Sunday school. And I paused this morning, and I thought to myself, what would it be like if in a moment's notice we lost 20 of these children and 6 of these adults? What would it be like if I, as a child, lost my sister or brother or friend or friends? What would it be like if I, as a parent, kissed my child goodbye in the car line and never saw him again? I myself do not have children, but I am a priest to the 99 who are up here today. I am a priest and a friend to the youth of this parish. So while I might not have any children of my own, I have many children whom I love. And I cannot imagine the unfathomable grief of the people of Newtown, Connecticut, whose lives were torn apart by the unspeakable violence done at Sandy Hook Elementary School. And so it is with heavy heart and heavy mind that I stand in this pulpit today, on a day that is normally set aside to highlight the joy and the anticipation of the Christ child, the joy and the anticipation of Advent. I stand here with the awareness of the unimaginable grief, with the awareness of the unimaginable sorrows this world sometimes throws in our face. Today, we are not a people of rejoicing as the scriptures may ask us to do. Today, we are not a people of gladness. Today, we might not even be a people of reassurance. And friends, my preacher's heart really wants to direct you to the joy, really wants to tell you to smile and not to fear, as we recited today in Isaiah's canticle. As a matter of fact, all of our texts point us to a hope for the future, to a hope to be born both among us and in our hearts. But in all honesty today, I stand before you with shaking hands and shaking knees and wounded heart as I think about the horrors of this life. When discussing it with a friend and seminary professor, she said, "We Christians are really good at proclaiming comfort and hope. We are not so good at sitting with grief and death." Of course not. Death parts us from those we love. Death brings fear. Tragedy brings us no reassurance. So I can't. I can't stand before you today and encourage you toward the joy. I can't stand before you today and ask you to fake it till you make it. I can't stand here and tell you that you should at all feel peace in your hearts at a time like this. What I can do is offer you a promise that is repeated over 6 times in our texts today, the promise that God is with us. And not only is God with us, but God is our salvation. Whether we fear or not, whether we grieve or not. And what does salvation look like? We do not know for sure. But we are promised a time when there will be no more weeping, when we will fear disaster no more. We are promised a Messiah who did come into this world in order to feel the pains and the tortures of human flesh. We are promised a God who knows what it's like to lose a child. We worship a God who knows all too well the betrayals of a broken world. We worship a God who cries with us, not just in last Friday, but in every Friday, who was betrayed on Good Friday. We worship a God who does not pull us out of sorrow and force us into joy. We worship a God who sits with us in silence, in sorrow, in darkness. We worship a God who lives with us in our pain and cries with us in our grief. And friends, if that is not hope, if that is not salvation, I do not know what it is. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. Amen.